we find down here in this heat that if we let those calves recover and get them on a certain amount of intake, then vaccinate, we have a whole lot better luck than vaccinating them up front and putting that stress on them. And
we want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boost digestive health, performance, and profitability with Digesterone Prime, a feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in beef calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime. Dietforge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit proearthanimalhealth.com today. Control the cortisol surge and control your drug costs on your inbound cattle. Make the 21-day SHOT Show a thing of the past with QFA 2000. Are you tired of rolling the dice on calf scours? Get on the Pharmatan Clean Cow Clean Calf program ahead of calving. Go to pharmatan.com for more details. Trusted ingredients, proven performance. Rangen Livestock Nutrition. We partner with a purpose. Boehringer Ingelheim puts cattle first with innovative health solutions, vaccines, and care for your herd. Visit bianimalhealth.com/cattle.
Hello, welcome to the Beef Podcast Show brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Dr. AJ Tarpoff, and today, sit back, relax, get ready to expand your knowledge with the latest insights from the beef cattle industry. Today, really excited about this show. We're going to welcome our guest, who has previously been on this Beef Podcast Show before, but James Davison. James, you've got a wealth, 45 plus years of experience in starting cattle. Is that a fair assessment to get started?
That's fair enough. Sure.
Well, let's jump into this episode. And I want to talk a little bit before our topic of today is really going to be focused on high risk calves and things that we can do to help manage and care for them. But before we get to that, I want to let our listeners know a little bit about you. Where are you from? Fill us in on a little bit of your background, and we'll kind of start there.
Perfect. Well, starting out as yours and my conversation began earlier, I grew up down on the Texas coast. My dad was a rancher and yearling operator. He was a researcher in the beginning, and I got to go along beside him and try to find solutions to problems in the cattle industry, from grazing issues to starting two weight calves to even AI tech work on Brahman females. So got exposed to a lot of that at an early age, and then went on to college, and he was managing ranches at that time and cow-calf ranches. We got Mexican stockers in, sale barn stockers. We bull management, all of that. I got exposed. Like I told you before, I don't know if I absorbed quite as much as I should have, but I got exposed. And looking back, my dad, he was always respected as a cattleman because he used science to drive his decisions. He didn't just make a decision off the cuff, and he thought it through and hey, is this going to give us a return on investment? So I did absorb that part because the bottom line is money, and to be sustainable, you have to make a profit and go forward. So that's a little bit about me. I add to that, I've ridden horses my whole life, professionally trained horses, along with preconditioning cattle, probably for the last 30-something years, getting a lot of sale barn cattle and straightening them out, using them to work horses on, selling them as a feeder, and going from there. So
now, do you manage all of your own animals, or do you also do custom starting and custom precon?
I do custom starting. I've got some guys that are kind of testing me right now. I'm doing some beef on dairy, and that's a new frontier for me. But in all reality, it, you know, I like those challenges because if you just sit still, you get stagnant. You know, local cattle, they are what they are. You kind of develop some good strategies and read the cattle and adjust a little bit. But working with these beef on dairies is a little different. And I don't know that we're going to get away from them with the supply demands on supply right now. And so people are trying different sources. And I think that's why it's important right now to have this conversation about developing strategies. So,
is stress affecting your bottom line? Even routine handling, inclement weather, weaning, and dietary changes can significantly lower the rumen pH, causing cortisol levels to spike. Cortisol not only compromises the immune system, but also suppresses normal appetite and feed consumption. The solution? Cattle Active. Increase production and reduce the impacts of stress on your cattle for cents a day. Cattle Active restores the balance naturally. Want to learn more how a feeding program, including Cattle Active, can improve both profits and herd health? Visit us today at proearthanimalhealth.com. Be proactive with Cattle Active.
I couldn't agree more. Having a plan, a well-developed plan that's based on science, pays, you know, proven practices, and then following through. I guess we can't forget about that follow-through part. But, well, James, this is, wealth and knowledge. You've been there, you've done that. But let's dive in today on some of those strategies. I guess let's begin with some of the challenges that our producers face when starting cattle. I guess let's kind of lay out the, you know, the big picture. What are some of these challenges that we really need to account for whenever we're starting high risk cattle?
So where I start developing a strategy is what the source of cattle are. You know, sale barn cattle, where they came from the east, how long of a truck drive, or on the other side of that, have they been preconditioned and weaned on the ranch, had a round of vaccines. And basically, I like to go, okay, what's the age of the cattle, weight and age of the cattle, because for me, that influences our nutrition, and that influences basically, I call it naivety. You know, calves don't handle, they don't think. You can expect them to act like other ones, but the lighter and younger they are, the less they are apt to act like a cow, I guess. They're still calves, and they don't have that ability to think and work through stuff. So we have to show them. And I think that's where our husbandry comes in. And then we try to keep our nutrition for those cattle to be appropriate. It has to have the energy levels and the quality levels. You know, you get into bigger cattle, the nutrition changes, but you can get by with more. And then there's other places. I've got guys that they buy sale barn calves, they process them, and they turn them out on grass. And you know, the nutrition doesn't quite fit those cattle. So they go through a period of maybe 45, 60 days, the cattle stand still. Well, what is the effect does that have on the immune system? What is all, you know, how does that actually beneficial for that calf? Because I hear them say, well, there's green grass. Well, they don't have a mature rumen, so they're not going to ferment and gain any nutrition from it. So I think when I go places and I'm asked to help develop a strategy, we start with our source. We identify some of the challenges from that source, you know, whether it's digestive or it's respiratory. We get our nutrition correct, and then we work on our husbandry. We get our cowboys understanding how to ride those cattle, how to treat those cattle. You know, how many days do we need to push to the bunk? Well, till it becomes a habit. We start developing that habit, and those calves come to the bunk and eat, because to me, feeding water is the best medicine. And I'll say that, I've said that's the way I was taught. If they don't eat and they don't drink, you don't have a chance. So we've got to work from that standpoint. And the younger and more naive those calves are, the less apt they're going to go to that bunk.
Honestly, I think that's spot on. They have to eat, they have to drink. Just drinking, drives feed intake. Feed intake gets the nutrition and the energy and the protein that they need. And we were in going through vet school, going through animal science. I know I was always taught how taxing the immune system is to be able to just protect that animal, how much energy and protein on a daily basis. If they're challenged, if they're stressed, how much more everything else in the body kind of shuts down, and it's all hands on deck to that immune system.
I agree. And you know, I've watched some of your other podcasts with other guests, and it's been enlightening to understand the biochemistry and what's happening there, because, you know, I didn't really know that. I have a college degree, but it's why did we do these things? And going back to talking about my dad, we'll figure the science out. What's actually happening right there? And then having tools other than maybe our antibiotics and our vaccines, which I don't think you can get by without either. I think timing and usage of them is very important, especially on some of these younger calves. We find down here in this heat that if we let those calves recover and get them on a certain amount of intake, then vaccinate, we have a whole lot better luck than vaccinating them up front and putting that stress on them. And you know, common sense tells us on the box, it says vaccinate healthy animals. Well, those calves may not be healthy when they come in from, you know, they've been putting them together all week in Alabama and they get here on Monday morning.
Well, I want to back you up a little bit on, you know, source and kind of outlining some of these risk scenarios. So if we're going to balance our management to whatever risk category, you know, we put these animals in, I mean, how much information do, you know, the folks that you work with, how much information do they get? Or is kind of weight and where they came from the best indicator? Or how much stock do you put in vaccination status? If they've seen a feed bunk or not, if they've seen a water tank, how much of that information gets shared with the buyer? And I guess how much of it do you believe in today's marketplace?
The last part of that question is the most important. In Texas, we have a lot of preconditioned calf sales, and that's been going on for years and years. And just to back up even further, back in the early 70s, my dad and another one of his colleagues, Dr. Bill Meese, they developed that ranch to rail program. And so ranch weaning versus, say, a set of calves that get put together at the sale barn, taken home in preconditioned, those are two different animals. And that shows itself when you move those cattle and stress them again. And I call it, they don't have any digestive integrity. So even though they have been vaccinated, or say they've been doctored, they're a one treat and quote overcame it, they still haven't developed the, I would call the digestive integrity, you know, the lining of the rumen and all of that is intact and working well. And to me, that's the most important. In the past couple of years with the value of these cattle, we're seeing people go to these preconditioned sales, and I'm not bad mouthing them, but we see more death loss out of those cattle than we have out of something that's fresh that we buy out of the sale barn. And that is due to the fact that, I mean, there's a bad name for them down here and I'm not going to say it, but they use they use something, they mass treat those cattle up front with an antibiotic, and they say, well, they know how to eat and they know how to drink and we vaccinate them and they've got two shots. But the reaction, or how many of those calves actually did react to the vaccine? And I think that's the other question you have to ask. And was it given properly? Was it handled properly? You know, if it was modified live, was it kept away from the sun? All of those things to me are important. And it's very hard to get that information. It's extremely hard. Now you go to a reputation rancher who's developed you know, and you have guys, they'll give the top of the planet for those reputation calves off a ranch, and you can't blame them, you know, but they're not like me. I'll just roll the dice and go to the sale barn and buy them. I like that. I like that challenge, but that's a different game, because those reputation ranch calves, those people have figured out what weight, how to wean, do a very good job. They get a good reaction to their vaccination program, and those calves know how to eat. Flip side of that, you know, there's that whole mid-level in the cattle industry of guys just like me that are buying them and reselling them. Well, you have to develop your own reputation too, and I think the digestive integrity is the most important part of that in those calves.
Well, let's dive into that digestive integrity. So let's use that example. You've got some auction barn purchased animals with, let's say, mixed history, relatively lightweight, something that essentially all of us would consider some type of elevated risk, whether it's high risk, whether it's, you know, whatever you want to, you know, whatever term you want to utilize. But let's use that as a scenario. What are some steps, in your opinion, on the husbandry side, the nutrition side, the management side, to set these calves up for the best success once they get to your operation?
So for me, I think the most important strategy is I have is the husbandry, clean water troughs, clean feed troughs, a feed that's palatable, and you know, going to our product, we have a top dress that has an aroma, so we can get those calves up there. If that's not available, go buy a good, high-quality textured feed that has a good molasses smell. Because in those two-weight studies, we found using something like that and getting that intake was extremely important. So don't just go buy the cheapest feed, but have that. And then you have to be good either walking. I'm not saying you have to do it horseback. I'm not walking pens. I'm good enough horseback. I'm gonna go push cattle every day, morning and night, and develop that habit of them going to the feed bump. And a lot of them don't want to. And once they go up there, they smell a top dress, or it's a good feed, or it's good fresh smelling hay. You know, something that's familiar to them, and then incorporate some other products. Think of it this way. You have to have something for every calf in the pen. You can't leave one behind. They cost too much. So whether we treat the water, we put a lick tub, you know, we have a really good fresh smelling hay. Those are the strategies that I want to get on people's mind. And that first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, all the way to 5 weeks, that's where you develop a solid calf. And anywhere in there, if you have a hiccup, you have to consider I've got to restart that calf, basically. And so that understanding, saddle your horse, get up, run the feed truck, do a good job, notice your cattle, anything off, and then, you know, do your pulls and doctors and whatever. But getting that calf hydrated is everything.
Now, back to the clean water. How often do you scrub? How often do you empty and scrub those water tanks on those new arrivals?
Every other day.
Every other day?
Every other day. And I don't use any Clorox or anything.
Nope.
We use a power washer. They're concrete. We use a power washer. We power wash them real well to fill them up with clean water. And if I see one, you know, I've got a guy that specifically rides around with the power washer. And we do so many pens on Monday, and we switch to the other side. And, you know, we're doing that flip-flop. But that way we do a good job. But to me, that's the single most important thing. They can't go up there and smell rancid, nasty water. You can't get birds in it. You can't have bird manure in it. You can't do any of that. It's got to be clean water.
Well, I love that mentality of clean water. That's where I always focus. And it's hearing somebody like yourself putting that much emphasis in cleaning water tanks, making sure that it's palatable, it smells good. We're trying to entice all of those animal senses to go be a calf, go be a bovine animal. And we know that things that entice them is good quality, clean water. And then a something that smells is either familiar or it smells good and it's enticing out of the feed bunk. So dive in a little bit more about that. You mentioned there was a product that you guys have, but it, really the concept. Talk a little bit more about the enticement piece to get those calves to the bunk, whether it's fluffed up hay, whether it's something that smells different. Dive into that a little bit as well.
Okay, so going back to that concept, we have that cortisol problem because of the handling stress and all of that. And so we feel like we really want to correct the pH of the rumen, because with that stress, you get a drop in pH. So we're going to use a product that will correct that, but also in the water, it does have a good taste. It's not a good taste to humans, but it is a good taste to a cow. And so that, I think that's important. And then to your point, top dress, you know, top dressing is something we did for years with something that attracted calves. And it just, I think it kind of fell by the wayside, or maybe I just hadn't been paying attention, but hey, let's go put the feed out. But something you can top dress with, I don't care what it is, but there's all kinds of new flavors out there, have a great aroma. And once you get that calf up there, the worst thing that can happen is he takes a bite of feed and it tastes bad, or it's, you know, it's just not palatable. And that's just common sense. So even if it's that good fresh smelling hay, that's something familiar. And I smell hay all the time. If I go get a load of hay, if I'm going to buy it, I walk up to it, smell it, it smells bad, I'll turn around and walk off, because it's money that I'm just wasting money. So monitoring that part of it, from that standpoint of that, once you get past that 45 or 60 days, you can get by with some things. But getting that intake, getting that water intake, and you know, we have to remember that water is going to buffer that stress in that animal also and start hydrating that rumen lining, which is our first line of defense. So I think from there, those have to be your top strategy. And I can go into a place that uses Clorox or something in the water and get them to quit using it, and they're always amazed how much more water an animal drinks. You know, and I just like, it's common sense. But we do have well water in places that can have an odor. It can have some sulfur and stuff like that. So we need to, you know, that's where I think our liquid product does a great job. It corrects that water and I don't know really how the correct term, but it cleans it. It changes it, and those cattle like to drink it. I've seen calves go bellering, and go get a drink and start to walk off and beller and turn right back around and go back and drink that water. Well, when he does that, you know you got him. He's helping you. You know, he's trying, as some of my guys say, he's trying to be a good calf, boss. He's trying to be a good calf. So if he goes and drinks that water there, boy, we got to start. We have got to start, you know, and that's exciting. You know, you say I do have a lot of experience, but I rode down through there this morning and got a little bit of those beef on dairies. And boy, I got them in late last night and I watched them go up there and drink. And I go, there we go. You know, we're going to get a start. So
just for people listening in, you mentioned, you know, your guys' product. Again, it's Pro Earth Animal Health, right? And you guys have some different product lines. So if somebody's listening, they want to know a little bit more about that, how would they go about finding that information?
So you would go to our website, www.proearthanimalhealth.com. And look at the cattle active product, which the base product is an oral drench. And then we incorporate that into lick tubs or a feed additive that has that aroma on it. So we can mix or top dress that. And it can run through a micro machine. It can it can handle all the whistles and bells that are out there nowadays. But the drench is the cornerstone product. And I always call it my secret weapon because, boy, when you put it in the water, it changes the dynamics of everything, you know. And I can get a set of calves that may get a little puffy and say they overate or my guy fed too much. And I'm like, oh, no, you know, and I can go treat that water and reduce that gas and that and those problems in those calves, and they go right back and go to work. So I think having a multi-level strategy and having something for every one of those calves, like the lick tubs, you know, you're going to have calves that are naive or a little timid, and you might push them a horseback and they go up there and then something butts them in the head and they turn around and you're on to the next pen. And he's like, no, I ain't going back up there, you know. Well, there's a lick tub right there. So we can at least start that salivation and get a little extra energy in him and do that process. So I think that's important, and understanding the diversity of the calves you're going to get in there. Even if they're ranch calves, if you study behavior long enough, you're going to see a diversity in behavior. And your goal is to even that out.
So question on that behavior, you know, you're talking about the acclimation, making sure that twice a day you're moving those animals up to the water, up to the feed bunk. And that does several different things behavior wise, at least in my mind. It gets them comfortable in the areas. They feel comfortable going at that. But they also start to respond to the handler, and they become more comfortable with us being in the pen. They're getting more comfortable with the environment, and they're getting some type of repetition. Cattle love a standard every single day that it's like, oh, where's my pen rider? You know, it's time to go up to the feed bunk. How many days does it take for those animals that you really feel that they flip a switch, that they buy into the program, so to speak?
So oddly enough, the little cattle take it quicker, you know, because they are naive and they haven't developed any thinking patterns, and their instinct is not as high. And that was something my dad always called it. You know, the proper term is the fight or flight, but it's that instinctive behavior. So the more entrenched it is, the more time. I've gotten heifers out of Florida, weigh 700, take a month. Just old, bad-minded, raunchy things, you know, and you're whooping on them horseback trying to get them up there, and they're hooking and mad, you know, and trying to jump the fence. So I think what I have learned over the years is most people quit when you need to be mashing. You got to keep going right there. And they're like, oh, man, I'm doing it. No, you got to get them broke over to the other side of their brain, to where they're like, okay, I got respect. He's not going to hurt me. And he's telling me to go over there. Once you get that relationship established, you can do a lot with one. And their chemistry changes and they go to thinking. And because a wild cow ain't going to eat, you know, I mean, that's a crude way of saying it, but that's the way it works. Anything will blow them back off the bunk. And I've spent enough time in the feedlot to see those pens on the corner where the feed truck's going by all the time. You know, you I see.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And we get so busy that we don't have the time to fix those pens every day. We do our job, but, hey, we got another 2,000 down the road to get to. And what happens to those cattle? You go look at their performance on the readout, and it's not like those calves in the middle of the alley all the way down that line. Their performance is better because they're not getting scared by something mechanical or, you know, feed truck drivers rolling by and having a big time honking the horn or whatever, because that does happen. And so I think I don't put a time limit on it. And I don't put a repetition or the numbers on it. I put an evaluation on it. Are they responding on their own to the feed truck? Are they responding on their own to a cowboy? coming in the pen. That tells you if you've got them or not.
No, I appreciate that. And I guess just to recap a little bit, I know we're getting a little bit closer to our end here, but consistency every day, enticing those animals with quality feed, water. Water's probably paramount, the most important in my opinion, and I think you'd agree with that. But we have a consistent everyday interaction with those animals with acclimation, that we're putting all of those practices together, that whether it's, you know, single source ranch, those animals are just going to do even better, right? Than what we're, you know, no hiccup, no bump along the road. The animals that may have had a little bit of mismanagement prior to arrival, it gets them off to the best start, right? So it's kind of all of these things accumulating together that gives these critters the best chance they can.
I agree totally. And then, you know, be willing to be open-minded and recognize that sometimes our stress, cattle are stressed and may need more work as far as getting them to eat and drink rather than pulling them and going on and using a big dose of antibiotic on them. And I understand that from a safety point of view or a, what would you really call it? It would be from a prevention standpoint. Hey, I'm going to pull him early. And knowing what's happening in those first 10 days can help you make a really good decision there on your cattle. And I think that's where your experience comes in.
James, this has been a fantastic discussion talking about starting cattle. It's near and dear to my heart because I love starting cattle and feeding cattle. But this has been a lot of fun to have this discussion. And it's a breath of fresh air to hear somebody like yourself that has been in the industry as long as you have, but it's back to the basics. And I always harp with folks, it's back to the basics, back to the basics, back to the basics. And I really appreciate that you share that sentiment.
It's time for our famous three.
This has been James Davison with Pro Earth Animal Health, but a private rancher. But I can't let you go from the Beef Podcast Show before I want to finish off with three questions that we give all of our guests. And I throw a little spin into this, and I hope you appreciate that. But you brought up several times during this conversation of learning from your dad, but always understanding, looking to the science and learning more and making decisions based off that information. I guess, where do you go today to find new information? Where do you go to find answers to some of the questions that still come up?
So two sources, really. I go back to some of my academic books when I'm looking for, you know, obviously for basic things that I need to review. But I am a podcast nut nowadays. I'm just telling you. And I don't listen to the radio anymore because the music leaves me, you know, unless I listen to some 80s stuff, which is my era. But I love podcasts now. And I get a little tidbit off of everyone. And so from y'all's channel and others that I've started following, I think the more we discuss and communicate things just like we did today, the more beneficial it is for the industry, because we've gotten into short clips of information on social media, and I think that can be dangerous. I think we need to investigate and go more and get a good in-depth knowledge of from people who have experienced it and have the good basics in the background to really give it integrity and validity. So podcasts have become a great, I love them now. So,
hey, one good thing is if you start interacting with one podcast show for, you know, the beef podcast show with the beef industry, it probably gives you suggestions of other ones too that are along the same lines.
Yes, sir.
The second question I want to ask you is outside of the cattle industry, what are you, you know, I know you're a podcast guy for the cattle industry and finding that information, but what are you diving into outside the cattle industry, or what are you researching or reading about outside ag?
I don't want to sound too philosophical or in depth, but I'm reading a book and I'm on the fourth time I've read, and it's a small book, and it's called As a Man Thinketh. And there is so much wisdom in that one book. And so I've been on that book for a month. And I, you know, whether your beliefs or not, I'm not here to tell you what to believe, but as a like thinking about yourself and your value and what you can do and how you influence your outcome, I think it might be the most impactful thing I've read in a long time.
That's good advice. I hope people listen into that, because I love good reads like that. I really do. So our last question before I let you go, you've been around the industry, interact with a lot of folks, you know, both before this podcast and during this podcast. You told me that how much you learned from folks like your dad and other people that have been in your life. What makes a good leader in the livestock industry?
Well, a good leader is well informed. A good leader is calm and doesn't get into their emotions, no matter what, especially when you're handling cattle. You cannot lose you can't get there. You got to maintain your cool. So I think a consistent person that really knows the subject matter and has worked through it, and can lead people by example there and be able to explain why you're doing something, even if they don't want to know, go, well, this is why we're doing this. And eventually then that will rub off. But the guy that flies in there and kind of loses his cool, which I know a lot about, you know, cattle out everywhere and mixed, and we spend 2 days sorting, you know, four different ways. I've had that happen, but it still doesn't change the situation. So people respect people who are fair with them. So I think fairness and consistency are paramount right there for a good leader.
No, I couldn't agree more. This has been a pleasure, and I really appreciate you coming on the Beef Podcast Show. So to wrap up, I'm Dr. AJ Tarpoff. Today we had James Davison. This is a great conversation talking about consistency, husbandry practices, getting those young calves off to a good start. And with that, please keep following along and listening in to the Beef Podcast Show. Like, subscribe, however you're interacting with this this platform. And we will see you on the next episode. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.